just really excited to get everything going to get the season started.
It's training camp time.
Yeah, baby!
As the Morning Shift gives you all the action live from Flowery Branch.
Tiffany Blackman, Mike Johnson, and Bo Morgan.
Tune in or listen on the Odyssey app for our 2024 Falcons training camp coverage. Exclusive training camp coverage is brought to you by Kia. Move it that inspires. Miller Lite, taste like Miller Time Atlanta. Margaritaville. And by Hooters. Ain't no party like the Hooters party.
Our Falcons play here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Now, here's Tiffany, Mike, and Bo.
Good morning. We are live.
Merry Christmas.
Falcons training camp.
Merry Christmas.
It is the day the players report to training camp. This is the Morning Shift. I am Bo Morgan, a.k.a. Squidbilly. He is the All-American National Champion, former Atlanta Falcon.
I don't even know why you say a.k.a.
P. Johnson.
I don't even know why you say a.k.a. You just are Squidbilly. You're not a.k.a. You're not also known as. You're known as Squidbilly.
I'm sorry.
Not an a.k.a.
You want me to
redo
it? This is Squidbilly, a.k.a. Bo Morgan. How about
yeah,
that?
Yeah, it's like, look, man, it's like me being like, I'm Michael, a.k.a. Mike. Like, no, I'm just Mike, dude. Like, it just is what it is.
Well, but, then, I mean, yeah, but you could then you could say, but I'm not really Squidbilly because a lot of people call me Squid, or some people call me Squid Shady, or whatever. So, I mean, I've got all these names.
You and I have talked about this before. I just said Merry Christmas. To me, when you look at the calendar, this is probably more of New Year's Day. Or New Year's Eve, I guess, since first practice is tomorrow.
Start of the new year.
I guess Christmas probably is the first game of the year, if that makes sense. To borrow one of your terms, if that makes sense. I think Christmas is probably day one of the season, but this is like New Year's where you feel like you're starting anew.
Yeah.
Definitely not Thanksgiving or Halloween, I can tell you that.
I think for the fans, that is 100% right. I do believe that New Year's Day is probably for the players and staff.
Sure.
It's probably more of the free agency or draft day kind of stuff. I mean, as NFL fans, we have – the NFL has done this thing where they create like 7 Christmas days for us.
Yeah, right. They do a good job of it. I mean –
you know, it's free agency. It's draft day. It's the day training camp starts. It's the first preseason game. For some, it's the opening day. For a lot, it's the start of the playoffs. It's the Super Bowl. I mean, they've done a really good job of it, right? But today is today, to your point, where we start seeing these guys for the first time with new teams, with our team. We see what our 2024 or that year's roster is really going to look like. And I know that it's a bittersweet day for Atlanta Falcons fans, because while we are here exclusively, this is the home on radio, this is the home for Falcons coverage, all right? We are the ones here. We are exclusively here. This is ours. We own this. But for the fans, they normally get to come and hang out with us. They don't this year. But I want everyone to know that this isn't long term. And this is only due to construction at the IBM Performance Field. And this will not be a forever thing.
No.
Next year, you guys will be back here, but they will have two open practices, Mike, one of which will be at Saturday at Seckinger High School in Buford. And we'll be there from, what, I think 5 to 9, you and I are still broadcasting?
Yeah, Jersey Mike will be there with us as well.
Yeah.
Don't forget to give him a shout-out. It's going to be a fun day. It's going to be a fun week. Listen, let's just go ahead and call it a fun month. Or just a fun 6 months.
No,
all right, we're headed in.
It's gonna be a fun season, brother.
A fun season. That's a good way to put it.
Brother.
Yeah, we will give. Listen, it's Bo and me today. Tomorrow we do have Maria Martin, which will be a lot of fun chopping up with her. Kelly Price will be back with us on Friday, and then you and I, like you said, live from Seckinger High School. Which I'll be honest with you, the first time I heard of this was about 2 months ago, mid May. I was not even sure where that even was located.
This is Seckinger High School.
I think I've been here a few times. Seckinger High School, though, when Seckinger High School was brought to me, I was like, where is Seckinger High School? And literally, dude, I'm driving back from Charlotte. I'm going down 85. I'm having this conversation with Dylan on the phone, and I'm like, he's talking about Seckinger High School. This is mid-May. And I swear, I passed Seckinger High School going south on 85. Passed it. I looked over, and I go, man, it's like a new high school over there. I wonder what high school that is. Seckinger High School, right there off the side of 85.
Boy, as you know, I – training camp is more than just driving up here for me. I treat this as a road trip, basically. I drive up to the Buford area where my best friend from college lives. I move in with him and his family for the next, on and off, for the next 2 to 3 weeks. And I was talking to them last night, and I said, yeah. I said, probably going to be up here Saturday with you guys, because Friday and Saturday, because I got a show from this, some, I don't know, second year high school. I don't know where it's at. And his wife, April, looks at me, she goes, it's literally 2 seconds from our house. Just that's actually, now their kids go to Buford.
Sure.
She goes, but that's actually our district. Because Buford is a city school.
City school.
And it's the way it's districted is weird, but they're technically, it's all confusing, but that's where they go. They're like, we would be districts to go there, yeah. if not. So, so that's easy for you. I go, oh, I love to hear that.
Well, we'll also have Dave Archer hang out with us for a little bit on Saturday night. It'd be fun, because these stories, there's a million of them, right? I mean, when you go into Falcons training camp, and obviously, like I said, it's Christmas, it's New Year's, whatever you want to call it, it's your birthday. I think birthday is probably like your first rivalry matchup of the year, or the first division matchup of the year. But anyway, so you go into it, and we're going to talk all day today about position battles. We're going to talk about training camp stories. We're going to do a special training camp version of Which One Wednesday with Bo and Dylan, where I actually have Jersey Mike will step in as the judge. He'll be able to kind of utilize the debate format and award somebody a victory. So stories are abound, dude. But you drove up here last night. The weather was crazy at my house. Power goes out for a little bit. Literally had to restart my air conditioning unit. So hopefully everybody was staying safe in the flash flood. I was trying to figure out last night how long it was going to take me to get here from my house. And because of flash flood warnings, it was like a 20-minute delay on 85. So a little bit of craziness. I don't know if you got up here without incident last night.
Well, I started to have road rage.
You don't say.
Well,
digital. So, you have digital road rage all the time in iRacing, so I'm not shocked.
Yeah, especially when the 78 car puts me in the wall and everyone latest, on Twitter has to see it.
Latest poll results said 58% people said I caused that wreck.
I'm coming up here, and it's cloudy, and all of a sudden, kind of starts spitting. And I'm like, oh, no big deal.
Yeah.
Well, then it started pouring, and I'm in the express lane, which I'm paying for. The 85 North Express Lane.
It's clutch.
Nowhere near the clutch of the 75 North, but because of the price of 75 North for me, and I drive that, and south, but it's very expensive, and it's one lane. And if you get one person who decides that
right.
It's not the express lane, it's the I'm the pace car.
Yeah. If you have Grandma Jean up front, you're not going anywhere.
So then
it's like it turns into a train.
So then it starts raining, and then a car cuts over in front of me, double lined.
I'm sure you
then,
took that one well.
Well,
I'm
then,
sure you
then
were
they,
okay with
then
that.
They do the ultimate red face squid. They turn their flashers on because
oh,
it's raining.
Yeah.
So now I can't see their brake lights because they're morons and have no idea how this whole thing works. Because most cars, when you turn your flashers on, it disables your brake lights.
Sure.
And they start driving like a grandpa. Then they finally get out of the way, and then the real grandma was in front of me. And I'm like, just if you want to drive like that, just get over.
Right.
I can handle my truck in the rain.
It's pretty easy. Pretty easy to think about. Look, last night, I'm gonna say this before she wakes up. My wife absolutely fed me the wolves on a DIY project. She decided she was gonna paint, right? And she got irritated because the wallpaper in our dining room had been painted over. So then she's like, I'm gonna take the wallpaper down. Well, she takes one sheet of wallpaper down. And she realizes there's two more sheets of wallpaper underneath this wallpaper, right? So then before you know it, the dry wallpaper's coming off, and she looks at me like, I really messed up, man. Like, You're gonna have to save me from this. And I looked at her and I was like, listen, I will help you once you are done with demolition here. But she's like, we're gonna have to redo all the drywall in the dining room. What turned into a simple paint job? A simple paint job turned into me absolutely completely refinishing the entire dining room with drywall, mud, tape, just all the above. So before she wakes up, I'm gonna air that out because I was so mad last night. I walk in there and she's like, hey, you're going to have to help me. Can you help me get this piece of quarter round off the ground? This piece of trim won't come off the door. I was like, absolutely not. This is your project. I didn't start this. I've got three projects of my own going on right now.
Can I make a suggestion that you won't do and no married man that wants to stay married?
I was going to say, only make the suggestion if you know you would do it in my shoes.
You should go to Home Depot on the way home.
Probably will have to.
Buy as much sheetrock as you estimate it'll take.
Yep.
Maybe a little bit more.
That was already in the plans.
All the mud, all the tape, all the essential tools.
Yeah.
And then you should come home and wait until she leaves, maybe to go pick up the kids, and then assemble all of that in that dining room.
Wow.
And then when she comes home, just be sitting there with your feet up watching the fire stick and be like, oh, I got all your supplies.
Look.
It's ready for you when you want to get started.
I can't do that.
And send her a YouTube to do it all.
I can't do that.
Yeah.
I'll tell you why in just a little bit.
Or
also, what happens in player-only meetings? And do they actually work?
I'm so interested to get your side of this because I know what I think a player-only. I know what. All right, let's put it this way. The tease. I've been in show-only meetings as a producer, and I know as a producer how at times I have not and have handled them. Maybe sometimes in the way I think player-only meetings are. Maybe sometimes I think they're not. But I want to get the player side.
Bo's got questions. I've got answers. That's coming up on the other side of the Morning Shift Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
More of our training camp coverage.
Live from Flowery Branch with the Morning Shift. Exclusive training camp coverage is brought to you by Kia. Movement that inspires. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mikey P, Mike Johnson hanging out with you. Squidbilly, not AKA Squidbilly Bo Morgan. This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured? Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. We are live. You are looking live. We are live from Flowery Branch, Atlanta Falcons training camp. We are your eyes. We are your ears. Which one do you think you have better of, Bo? You got better eyes, better ears. I'm trying to think which one I would be and which one you would be. I've got pretty good eyes, but I can't hear very well.
Ears.
But I'm also colorblind, so.
Yeah, I do have slight hearing loss on my left ear, but it's very slight. I have better ears, I would say, because my eyes are constructed to be 20/20. They were.
Oh, you've had the surgery.
I've had LASIK.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, I had LASIK in the.
I didn't know this about
you. You know what?
Learned something new today.
I had LASIK during training camp 2010.
Wow.
In fact, I missed one day of training camp in 2010 on a Friday to have LASIK.
Nice.
I was a couple years in the radio. We did a spot or two for a client back then, and it was cool because. And I'll get off this quickly because my wife is also not listening yet. But I was before I met her. And the doctor that did it had
14 years ago. You had not met your wife. Yeah, that's about right. I think you're on the right. You're on the right path.
Yeah, we might have met, but we were not
dating.
We were no she. We had met once. She still had a boyfriend.
I was in the same boat.
And I go there, and I go, man, there's like attractive girls in the office, like sitting in the waiting room, and then you get back there, and all these nurses were like models, like they're very attractive. Turns to find out, it was a joint office between a plastic surgeon.
Okay.
Who was
that works.
Was my doctor's wife.
Checks
and
out.
Him.
Checks
and all out. His I think all his nurses. I think they were joint nurses. And so they're like, "All right, well we're going to numb your eyes and I'll save some of the stuff." And I go, "Okay. You can numb it. Okay. All
Dude,
right."
It's so funny you say this.
So, yeah.
Again, my wife is still asleep, so I'm comfortable saying this. You know, my wife and I are pretty good about when there are attractive people of the opposite sex, we can be like, all right, yeah, I mean, I get it. That's fair. Like, I think that's a good-looking person. The only place this did not happen was right after we had my first son, right? We're at Northside Hospital. And like, it seemed like every nurse in the maternity ward was just extremely attractive. And, of course, we're going through the whole thing having a kid, and I'm like, I'm not even gonna glance in the direction of the door. This is the greatest day of my life. But finally my wife after like 48 hours is like, man, is it just me or is like every nurse in here just really good looking? And I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. You're the only thing I've thought about this entire time. I might as well be blind. I can't even see. I'm so overwhelmed with joy.
Dude, it's funny because when I was 18 and had my knee surgery, my knee had a lot of fluid on it. bad. You know, they have to drain the knee.
Yeah.
The doctor did it the first time. It was the first. They did it twice. The first time the doctor did it was the worst. It was worse than the surgery. Worse than any pain I felt at any point during the surgery. The second time the nurse came in, and the nurse was attractive.
Yeah.
Very attractive. And she came in.
She was okay.
Like, she goes, "We got to drain your knee again." I said, "Nope." I said, "It ain't happening." I said, "It ain't happening." And she goes, we have to." I go, "Ain't no one coming near me draining." I said, "That doctor ain't coming near me," is what I said. And she goes, "Oh, no, no, I'm going to do it this time." And I go, "Here it is. Here's my knee."
Speaking of nurses, man, let's hit the front page.
One, two, three. It's time to take a look at today's top headlines.
This is the front page on the Morning Shift.
All right, we got to get to this players-only meeting. Braves game canceled yesterday because of rain. It's kind of what we were talking about earlier, flash flood warnings all over. Hope everybody stayed safe. We had craziness going on at my house. Braves game's canceled. They'll make it up as part of a doubleheader. I think you get a noon 20 start today and a 6 o'clock game later this afternoon, so hopefully the rain holds off for that one. It's just a rainy time of year, right? You're getting downpours every afternoon, it seems like, which in football world up here, as a football player, you're like, thank God. In Braves world, that's not so much of a good thing, all right? They don't have the indoor that they can just hop over to. But you were telling me, you were kind of reading off the injury to Whit Merrifield and what happened to him. And it's pretty gnarly, pretty gruesome.
Yeah, when you initially hear he was day-to-day and you're like, oh, he took a ground ball, and you kind of hear, you immediately always got a bruised finger, right?
Right.
Well, it was his right middle finger, and apparently it shredded the skin underneath the nail.
He
had to get 4 stitches through the nail into the finger, and then they glued his nail back down to the finger. Apparently his bone was popping out under the skin. So that means that's the tip, guys.
Split his fingernail. I'm trying to imagine how this happened. I think you have to be, like, the ball has to hit the very tip of your finger. Right? Is that what happens?
I imagine he was
taking grounders?
Yeah.
That actually makes way more sense.
Glove and left hand on the left hand, right? So I imagine it's that old play where they tell you to get under the ball and you use your right hand, your free hand,
right,
as kind of a guide to make sure it sticks in that glove.
Right.
And I bet it took a hop as he went to guide it, and it probably just hit that right middle finger and bent it. When it bent it, or it just hit it dead on, right? And instead of bending it back where you get, like, maybe it hit the tip, it hit it dead on, and it probably and that's where
can't make
the
it up, man. Can't make it up.
Well,
Brian
you can't
Snicker
make
said
it up.
You can't make it up.
You know what the worst part is? The Braves, who are struggling injuries, as Ozzie goes down, they bring in Whit Merrifield, who had been released by the Phillies. I was reading a report on Whit Merrifield, and this guy was looking at his swing, and look, you got to be careful when you look at random dudes on the internet breaking down MLB battered swings.
Right, right.
The Ronald Acuna Jr. one's out there where the guy was like, "You'll never be a productive baseball player." And that guy has probably deleted his account now because he has been taking so much trash. But this guy was talking about how Whit had changed his approach with how he holds the bat and his grip on the bat, and that led to his worst year ever as a hitter. And so he's having his worst career ever at the plate, gets released by World Series favorite right now, one of the World Series favorites. And his first, day on the job, he's just taking routine ground balls and boom.
Here's what I'll say in terms of Braves fans. All right, if you are Whit Merrifield and you are playing for the Phillies and this kind of thing happens, you go on the IL, right? You're like, hey, I got to let this thing heal. If I'm Whit Merrifield and I'm day one of the Braves, I'm going, dude, give me a shot. Numb this baby up. Throw a wrap on it and let's roll, because I ain't got time to mess with this.
As much protective covering as I can have and still throw a ball accurately.
Exactly. Exactly. I don't care if I have to spray a foreign substance in between innings. I'll do all that. They did have the players-only meeting, as reported by a couple of people on the Twitter last night. Speaking of which, I have fantasy baseball. I have Michael Harris. We've talked about this with Grant McCauley. For the first time ever, I got to see 92.9 The Game on my fantasy baseball updates. As reported by Grant McCauley of 92.9 The Game, Michael Harris has still not started jogging. So, remember I asked Grant McCauley back in, March? I said, Michael Harris, he a keeper? Grant's like, yeah, I think he probably is. So far, hasn't paid off.
Remember
hopefully.
I said in March? He's going to hit like 30 home runs?
Yeah.
Maybe the guy that sets his home run record.
Yeah.
Probably going to be Jared Kelnick at this rate.
Well, can't hit home runs on the IL, so hopefully he gets back sooner than later.
Now, this players-only meeting, I have been in meetings, and I when a team's struggling like this, my mind is that the most fiery guy in there is throwing chairs. Like, and I've I've been.
What are we in the WWE? What are you talking about? Throwing chairs.
I've been lucky enough to hear a post game meeting, like when Julio was here, and it was reported. I was able to hear it. I wasn't able to see it, but I was able to hear the passion in this man's voice about how that team needed to play for Dan Quinn at the time. And I heard it with my own ears. Now, I think, though, when you're struggling like this and everyone's just down and, you know, there's lethargic, you know, Snitker needs to get thrown out, fiery. So I'm like, I maybe if I'm the fiery guy, which I am at times, I might throw a chair away from everybody. I'm like, you know, we've got to do this and care and blah, blah, blah. But then I go, it's probably not realistic. So yeah. I ask you, you're a player. You've been in player-only meetings. You've probably led one before.
I have. And we did this a number of times when I was at Alabama. And I was a part of a number of these with the Atlanta Falcons. I don't know if I was the specific one with Julio that you talk about. I don't think I was here for that one. But I will say this. Usually when these happen, it is because somebody or a couple of people on the team are not giving full effort. And so when you have players-only meetings, people ask, hey, does player-only meetings work? Okay, yes, sometimes they work if there are a number of guys not giving full effort and you are putting them on notice. Hey, I see what you're doing. I see that everybody else is grinding and you are not grinding with us. That's when players-only meetings works. Now, we've talked to Grant a number of times. We've heard from a number of Braves reporters. Hey, this guy's in the cage constantly. Austin Riley's getting this tip from Chipper Jones and from all these other people. Matt Olson's working on his swing. This guy stays in the training room trying to get back healthy. I don't feel like that's the problem with the Braves. So if you're asking me, does a Braves player-only meeting work? I don't think so, because I think they're all grinding pretty hard from everybody that we've talked to.
Let me ask you this. What if you use it as a moment to put people at ease? Like, if Marcell Ozuna, who's hitting the best, looks over at Matt Olson and says, look, and I'm not going to try to impersonate Matt Olson because that's just silly and that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But Marcell looks at him and goes, hey, this isn't all on you. I've got you.
Right.
When AR comes back, he's got you. Because obviously he's on paternity leave because he had a new son and named him one of the greatest names in the history of the earth, which is Bo, which I appreciate. What if they just say, you know, this isn't on you. Just go out there and try to get on, and I'm going to bring you in. Or go out there and just you don't need to hit a home run. Not everybody.
But see, those aren't team meetings. Those are one-on-one conversations. That's kind of my point.
But the fact of the matter is that there's a lot of guys on this team. In fact, pretty much everyone not named Kelnick, Ozuna, and Austin Riley at this point. Since June, need to hear that.
All right, we're going to roll on. We're going to talk a little college football coming up on the other side. We are live from Flowery Branch. We will talk college football on the other side. Look, have we seen the end of big-time Rose Bowls? And also, is Billy Napier going to owe a Georgia quarterback $13 million? We're going to talk about on the other side. It's the Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
As you get older, you kind of appreciate the grind a lot more.
Back to Falcons Training Camp.
With Tiffany, Mike, and Bo.
Exclusive training camp coverage is brought to you by Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time, Atlanta. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, live from Flowery Branch. This hour is brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured, hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. We're out at Flowery Branch. Today is reporting day for the Atlanta Falcons. We'll be your eyes and ears on the ground. Not every day, but most of the days. Reminder, fans not able to attend this year because of some of the ongoing construction around here. So if you want to know what's going on, it's pretty simple. Just listen to me and Bo. We know the Falcons like nobody else.
And come see us Saturday at Second Year High School. I think gates open at 5 there, or is it 6? I had it open earlier.
I think we're live at 5.
We're live at 5, that's
I'm
right.
Not sure what time the gates open. We'll have to look that up and make sure we let the people
know. Yeah, gates
open
at 5 until capacity is reached. There's limited free parking at Second Year, and there'll also be free parking in shuttles from the Hamilton Mill park and ride.
I'm trying to remember. We did this, I think, 3 times when I was with the Falcons. We did 3 different Friday Night Lights. We did North Gwinnett, I know for sure.
Yeah, and that was a little bit different because that was actually Friday Night Lights.
Right, yeah.
And you guys would ride a bus there, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, we would. I mean, it felt like Friday Night Lights.
Yeah.
We, yeah. I don't know. I don't think we were on a cheese wagon, but We were definitely on a bus. And where else? Maybe Gainesville. I think we went to Gainesville High School, home of the Red Elephants, right? Because I think at the time, I don't remember if it was Blake Sims at Alabama or Deshaun that was at Clemson, but one of the quarterbacks at that point was playing big-time college ball when we made that trip up to Gainesville. But this is your, 15th training camp?
Yeah, my so my first training camp was 2009 where I was up here in person.
Right.
And I have not missed one since. Other than the COVID year, obviously.
Personnel-wise, like not just like smelling the grass, but personnel-wise, do you have a memory of like 2009 when you first stepped out here? Like, is there one person you saw and thought, that dude looks like a Jesse? Like, oh my God, it's Roddy White. Oh man, look at Michael Turner.
Probably the you guys.
Like the big dogs?
The Claybos of the world.
Yeah. Because Claybo is a big dude.
Tyson Claybo is one of the bigger human beings you'll ever see in person.
A big dude.
Yeah, you see guys, and a lot of times the guys you see are no longer like here. Like they weren't like the biggest. Some of the biggest guys weren't mainstays, right?
Right.
But you know, I remember like Tyson Claybo being huge. I'll tell you that the first time, and this wasn't my first trip up here, but the first time I saw Julio up here, I was like, yeah, that's legit. And one day, it was, you know, the wide receivers will run their little drills, and they'll have like a coach or like the wide receiver coach will throw balls to them.
Yeah, a little over shoulder balls, things like that. Simple throws.
I remember standing there with Arch one day, and it was probably Julio's second year in the league.
Sure.
And he is running routes, and Arch is like, look at how he runs routes. And I go,
it's violent.
Okay.
It's violent.
And he's like, that is as violent. It's like, and he did, he used the word violent. He's like, that
there
is as violent as you'll see a stop, cut, and then accelerate again, right? And it's essentially like taking a Ferrari and going to getting up to 100 and then pulling the e-brake without losing control of the car and then dropping it and then putting it back into first gear and getting back to 100.
Yeah. No, I have thoughts like that, too. I have a lot of memories like that. I remember the first time kind of lining up next to Tony. That's a cool story, and we'll get to that, obviously, as we move throughout the show, because we are live from Flowery Branch. And we're hanging out right here just waiting for, the sun to come up over the practice fields and everything else. The smells of Flowery Branch. It smells like bubblegum. There's a bubblegum factory, a Wrigley, I think, right across State. Always smells like bubblegum out here. So
onions.
Speaking of
like
eyes
green
and,
onions, right?
Not
now.
Only are we the eyes and ears on the ground, we're the nose as well. You know, I'll tell you exactly what the fresh cut grass, the paint, the smelly pads that people have been sweating into. For right now though, we're gonna talk about college football real quick. The Rose Bowl, kind of in the headlines yesterday, asking to be left out of the college football playoff semifinal rotation because they want to maintain the January 1st slot. Now, earlier this year, they reached the college football playoff reached the new six-year deal with ESPN to begin in 2026, and the bowl rotation for that season has not been announced. Rose Bowl essentially saying, you know what? I don't care what game it is. We want to stay on New Year's Day no matter what. And I know that you've always had a passionate thought about the Rose Bowl and its kind of stance, but it's always done things a little bit different.
Look. Transparency. The Rose Bowl was one of my favorite games to watch because every year it was a tradition. You know, you'd watch the Rose Bowl New Year's Day, and we would have people over my parents' house. Like my best friends would come over. My mom would make, she would cook, and then the Rose Bowl would start, and they'd always get like Pizza Hut or something, right?
Right.
Whatever the pizza place was that was closest, and we'd watch the Rose Bowl, and I absolutely loved it. It's a childhood memory. I love watching the Rose Bowl New Year's Day. It's so ridiculous how stuffy these people are in the Tournament of Roses and Pasadena about this game. First off, it's in a stadium that desperately needs the facilities to be renovated. I don't want to change the bowl, but the facilities in the concourses desperately need to be renovated.
Yeah.
But this era of we are too good for anything but New Year's Day, and I understand it's all about this stupid parade. I can't stand that attitude. I can't stand that thought process.
Yeah.
And I think it takes away college football fans from being able to see an impactful game in Pasadena and the granddaddy of them all?
Well, look, I think there is a little bit. I think their reasoning, essentially, I'm looking at, they just lost their Big Ten Pac-12 matchup that they had for forever, right? That's not a thing anymore because the Pac-12 has gone bye-bye, all right? So you're not going to see that. But they have always kind of strong-armed college football in a number of different ways. Mm-hmm. I'm like you. I love the Rose Bowl, dude. I played the national championship game at the Rose Bowl. I love it out there. It's the pageantry like none other.
But
too many times have they tried to strong-arm college football into some of these situations.
Yeah, and for the record, that was when they would do the Rose Bowl and then do the extra game.
Right, and I can't remember which one it was that was the actual. It was a really good game, though, about a week before we ended up playing. All right, listen, the morning shift rolls on. We're at Flowery Branch live from Atlanta Falcons training camp. It's reporting day. Guys will start trickling in here any minute. Do you want to know who's going to win these position battles? Well, I got good news. We do know, and we're going to tell you on the other side. It's the Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
As you get older, you kind of appreciate the grind a lot more.
Back to Falcons Training Camp.
With Tiffany, Mike, and Bo.
Exclusive training camp coverage is brought to you by Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time, Atlanta. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, live from Flowery Branch. This hour is brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured, hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. We're out at Flowery Branch. Today is reporting day for the Atlanta Falcons. We'll be your eyes and ears on the ground. Not every day, but most of the days. Reminder, fans not able to attend this year because of some of the ongoing construction around here. So if you want to know what's going on, it's pretty simple. Just listen to me and Bo. We know the Falcons like nobody else.
And come see us Saturday at Second Year High School. I think gates open at 5 there, or is it 6? I had it open earlier.
I think we're live at 5.
We're live at 5, that's
I'm
right.
Not sure what time the gates open. We'll have to look that up and make sure we let the people
know. Yeah, gates
opening
at 5 until capacity's reached. There's limited free parking at Second Year, and there'll also be free parking in shuttles from the Hamilton Mill park and ride.
I'm trying to remember. We did this, I think, 3 times when I was with the Falcons. We did 3 different Friday Night Lights. We did North Gwinnett, I know for sure.
Yeah, and that was a little bit different because that was actually Friday Night Lights.
Right, yeah.
And you guys would ride a bus there, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, we would. I mean, it felt like Friday Night Lights.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think we were on a cheese wagon, but we were definitely on a bus. Where else? Maybe Gainesville? I think we went to Gainesville High School, home of the Red Elephants, right? Because I think at the time, I don't remember if it was Blake Sims at Alabama or Deshaun that was at Clemson, but one of the quarterbacks at that point was playing big-time college ball when we made that trip up to Gainesville. But this is your, 15th training camp?
Yeah, my first training camp was 2009 where I was up here in person.
Right.
And I have not missed one since, other than the COVID year, obviously.
Personnel-wise, like not just like smelling the grass, but personnel-wise, do you have a memory of like 2009 when you first stepped out here? Like, is there one person you saw and thought, that dude looks like a Jesse? Like, oh, my God, it's Roddy White. Oh, man, look at Michael Turner.
Probably you guys.
Like the big dogs?
The Claybos of the world.
Yeah. Claybo is a big dude.
Tyson Claybo is one of the bigger human beings you'll ever see in person.
A big dude.
You see guys, and a lot of times the guys you see are no longer like here. Like they weren't like the biggest. Some of the biggest guys weren't mainstays, right?
Right.
But you know, I remember like Tyson Claybo being huge. I'll tell you that the first time, and this wasn't my first trip up here, but the first time I saw Julio up here, I was like, yeah, that's legit. And one day, it was, the wide receivers will run their little drills, and they'll have like a coach or like the wide receiver coach will throw balls to them.
Yeah, a little over the shoulder balls, things like that. Simple throws.
I remember standing there with Arch one day, and it was probably Julio's second year in the league.
Sure.
And he is running routes, and Arch is like, look at how he runs routes, and I go,
violent.
Okay.
It's violent.
And he's like, that is as violent It's like he did. He used the word violent. He's like, that is as violent as you'll see a stop, cut, and then accelerate again, right? And it's essentially like taking a Ferrari and going to getting up to 100 and then pulling the e-brake without losing control of the car and then dropping it and then putting it back into first gear and getting back to 100.
Yeah. No, I have thoughts like that, too. I have a lot of memories like that. I remember the first time kind of lining up next to Tony. That's a cool story, and we'll get to that, obviously, as we move throughout the show because we are live from Flowery Branch. And we're hanging out right here just waiting for, the sun to come up over the practice fields and everything else. The smells of Flowery Branch. It smells like bubblegum. There's a bubblegum factory, a Wrigley, I think, right across the state. It always smells like bubblegum out here. So
onions. Speaking of like green onions, right?
Not
now.
Only are we the eyes and ears on the ground, we're the nose as well. You know, I'll tell you exactly what the fresh cut grass, the paint, the smelly pads that people have been sweating into. For right now, though, we're going to talk about college football real quick. The Rose Bowl. Kind of in the headlines yesterday, asking to be left out of the college football playoff semifinal rotation because they want to maintain the January 1st slot. Now, earlier this year, they reached the college football playoff reached the new six-year deal with ESPN to begin in 2026, and the bowl rotation for that season has not been announced. Rose Bowl essentially saying, you know what? I don't care what game it is. We want to stay on New Year's Day no matter what. And I know that you've always had a passionate thought about the Rose Bowl and its kind of stance, but it's always done things a little bit different.
Look, transparency. The Rose Bowl was one of my favorite games to watch because every year it was a tradition. You know, you'd watch the Rose Bowl New Year's Day, and we would have people over my parents' house, like my best friends would come over. My mom would make, she would cook, and then the Rose Bowl would start, and they'd always get like Pizza Hut or something, right?
Right.
Whatever the pizza place was that was closest, and we'd watch the Rose Bowl, and I absolutely loved it. It's a childhood memory. I love watching Rose Bowl New Year's Day. It's so ridiculous how stuffy these people are and the Tournament of Roses and Pasadena about this game. First off, it's in a stadium that desperately needs the facilities to be renovated. I don't want to change the bowl, but the facilities and the concourses desperately need to be renovated.
Yeah.
But this era of we are too good for anything but New Year's Day. And I understand it's all about this stupid parade. I can't stand that attitude. I can't stand that thought process.
Yeah.
And I think it takes away college football fans from being able to see a impactful game in Pasadena in the granddaddy of them all.
Well, look, I think there is a little bit. I think their reasoning, essentially, I'm looking at it, they just lost their Big Ten Pac-12 matchup that they had for forever, right? That's not a thing anymore because Pac-12 has gone bye-bye, all right? So you're not going to see that. But they have always kind of strong-armed college football in a number of different ways. Mm-hmm. I'm like you. I love the Rose Bowl, dude. I played the national championship game at the Rose Bowl. I love it out there. It's the pageantry like none other.
But
too many times have they tried to strong-arm college football into some of these situations.
Yeah, and for the record, that was when they would do the Rose Bowl and then do the extra game.
Right, and I can't remember which one it was that was the actual. It was a really good game, though, about a week before we ended up playing. All right, listen, the morning shift rolls on. We're at Flowery Branch live from Atlanta Falcons training camp. It's reporting day. Guys will start trickling in here any minute. Do you want to know who's going to win these position battles? Well, I got good news. We do know, and we're going to tell you on the other side. It's the Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.